And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. I've got a laugh. Someone, one of our frequent listeners sent me an email just now. Someone stole all my credit cards, they said, but I won't be reporting it. The thief spends less than my wife did. In any case, this is the next segment. You can always email us questions to Catherine Price or to myself at UDOCS@gmail.com, UDOCS@gmail.com. And what are we talking about this hour? We're talking about Vitamania, how vitamins revolutionize the way we think about food. Catherine is a award-winning journalist who's written and multimedia work, has appeared in publications such as The Best American Science Writing, The New York Times, which is where I started reading her work, Popular Science, The Oprah Magazine, The Los Angeles Times, San Francisco Chronicle, Washington Post, Salon, Slate, Men's Journal, Mother Jones, Parade, Health Magazine, and Outside. She lives in Philadelphia. And Catherine, the genesis of Vitamania, how did that start, and what do you where do you go with it?
Well, the premise of Vitamania really started with my realization that I didn't know as much about vitamins as I thought I did. There was one day when my husband turned to me and he asked me, kind of out of the blue, what's a vitamin? And I should say that Peter, my husband, is the source of most of my ideas for writing. And so I opened my mouth to try to answer him, and I realized that the only thing that came to mind was like sailors and scurvy and vitamin C. But beyond that, I really didn't know. And, you know, I thought to myself, oh, that's really interesting. These things are around us. We've probably taken Flintstones since we were kids. But how many of us really know what vitamins are, let alone whether we should be taking them and what they do for our health? So that launched me on this investigative journey through the world of vitamins. And I always like to clarify at the beginning, we tend to use the word vitamin to mean dietary supplement, and that's a much, much bigger category. That's about 85,000 products, and there's actually only 13 human vitamins, which is the letter vitamins that most of us know, like A, B, C, D, E, K, and there's 8 B vitamins. So, yeah. So that's where it started, and it just continued from there.
And now, a lot of the, so we're just talking about the vitamins and minerals, or just vitamins today?
Just the vitamins. We can also talk about dietary supplements, because I learned as I went along that one of the ways that the 13 vitamins changed the way that we think about food is that the word came to stand in for this much bigger category of dietary supplements. And in part because of that, dietary supplements are regulated the same way as vitamins, and they can be different in a lot of ways. So feel free to go either vitamins or dietary supplements. Minerals is not my strong point.
Okay. And the concept is that a lot of our food, and I guess it started with milk and maybe with then after milk grains, were supplemented or fortified with vitamins. I remember when I grew up a long time ago in the early 50s, the milk was fortified with vitamin D, and we always thought of that as a good thing because it was the only way of getting vitamin D in that era. And the cereals, it said, even white bread, it said fortified with 13 vitamins, I think. And
yes, Wonder Bread.
I think that was Wonder Bread, as I remember. Whatever happened to Wonder Bread? Anyway, it's a good thing it died, since it was a lousy carbohydrate. I hope it's died. I hope I'm not criticizing.
I don't. You know, I hate to tell you this. I don't think it died. I think it's like actually expanded and spawned other Wonder products. But
well, in any case, now that I've totally offended, so. When I say I hope that it's died, is I hope that everything with simple carbohydrates has died, so I hope I'm not getting in too much trouble there, which I obviously already have. But anyway.
we'll forget, scratch that. You never said anything.
Unfortunately.
But yeah, I mean, it was a very interesting story, because I didn't realize this, but the vitamins were only discovered about a century ago. So vitamin deficiency diseases are a relatively new concept. They're really came to light at the turn of the 20th century, and the word vitamin itself was coined in 1911 by a Polish biochemist, and that was before we actually had isolated any of the vitamins. So everything that's happened since then has really been on a fast track, and like you're saying, it didn't take that long for food manufacturers to start adding vitamins to their products once it became possible to do so. So you really start seeing this big acceleration in the number of products that contain synthetic, that's man-made vitamins in them. And part of the reason for that is that around the same time, we're talking like 20s, 30s, 40s, there was a big rise in processed food. As you're saying, refined and simple carbohydrates, where you take out the natural oils and a lot of the fiber from grains to make white bread, stuff like that, breakfast cereals. And those then don't have their vitamins, because the vitamins actually get taken out during that processing, because many of the vitamins are very fragile, and then some of the parts of the grain and stuff that contain the most vitamins, like the oil, will cause the grain to go rancid, so you have to take that out of the flour. So one of the things I realized when I was researching and writing my book is that part of, like, vitamins are actually necessary for us to eat the way we do today, or I should say synthetic vitamins are necessary. Because if we couldn't put vitamins back into things like breakfast cereal or white bread or some of the other highly processed products whose natural vitamins have been removed, we actually could be at risk of vitamin deficiencies. And that just blew my mind. I mean, I'd never thought about it that way. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with synthetic vitamins. In many cases, they're actually better absorbed than the natural kind. But I just thought there was a very interesting kind of perspective on the American food supply that I'd never thought of.
What you're saying is that if we don't get vitamins in fortified food, we will become deficient in, or in vitamins themselves, I guess, in vitamin pills. And it's one of the common ones is B12. Another one is vitamin D. Are there others that you feel we need? And if you don't get those foods, do we need a what you would call a normal dose multivitamin, or how do you? So part of what you're saying is we absolutely need it based on the kind of foods we eat. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's a couple things to clarify. First of all, we definitely need the substances that are vitamins. If we don't have them, then we will basically die or develop a very serious deficiency disease, because there are all sorts of reactions in our body that can't take place without vitamins. But with that said, you can get most of the vitamins through natural food. And by natural, I mean food that has not, like a, you know, an apple or vegetable, something that has not been processed, and that hasn't had its natural vitamins taken out, like refined grain would have had, you know, done to it. But basically, when people ask me the multivitamin question, you know, do we need to take a multivitamin? I encourage them to take a step back and ask themselves what they're eating. So if you're eating the diet that's always extolled in health magazines, where you've got blueberries as one of your main food groups and kale as your snack or something, and you're popping walnuts all the time and eating all that salmon and all that stuff, then you probably don't need a multivitamin, because you're probably getting plenty from the food that you're eating. And in addition, you're getting all sorts of other stuff that's in those foods that we don't really understand, but which may have beneficial effects for us. Like, you may have heard things like resveratrol, the stuff in red wine, or lycopene in tomatoes, all these natural plant chemicals that could be doing good things for us. So that's the ideal. If you are eating, instead of that, you're eating a diet that's really high in processed foods, but it tends to be like breakfast cereals, bread that has been fortified with extra vitamins, stuff like that, then you're probably fine in terms of vitamins. You don't really need a multivitamin because you're getting it in your food. And then there's the third category of people who might be eating a diet that's so poor they're not getting fortified foods. Say you're just eating french fries, or you're just eating ice cream or something like that. In that case, I'd suggest you reevaluate your eating habits overall. But if you really don't want to change, then yes, you should take a multivitamin.
Now, when we come back, and we're asking more about the multivitamin in health professionals study, and we'll talk about excess doses such as Linus Pauling's high-dose vitamin C for colds, and whether that really started something that is very bad. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Catherine Price, Vitamania.
more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. We've been talking with Catherine Price, P-R-I-C-E, author of Vitamania, V-I-T-A-M-A-N-I-A, Vitamania, How Vitamins Revolutionize the Way We Think About Food. It's a wonderful and really comprehensive but fun read book as well. Vitamania, and she is an outstanding writer. Just to mention, in addition to this, VitamaniaTheBook.com is the website. And I promised to ask her what I think is, for me, the toughest question, because I take a multivitamin every day, half of it morning, half of it evening, because you have to divide it in half to get the right doses and a stable level. But the reason I do is largely based on not only deficiencies, that is, if you look at the vast majority of the American public, most of us miss one of the minerals, as well as some of the vitamins, inadequate amounts, but more of the minerals. But the second thing is in the physician's health study, which really looked at people who were eating fairly well and exercising fairly well, that it decreased all-cause cancer mortality above the age of 70 by about 18%, and above the age of 50, I think it was by 8%. And so I know the studies haven't been repeated, but how do you should we all be taking that if we're or advising patients over the age of 70 to take it, Catherine?
Well, if we're talking about people over the age of 70, I mean, that's a different group of people, obviously, than those who are younger, because as you get older, you actually become less good at absorbing some of the vitamins. So, for example, B12 is very hard to absorb from food. It requires stomach acid, and a lot of people over 50, 60, 70 don't make enough of it. So I think there's nothing wrong with taking a multivitamin if you're above 70. Do I think you need to take a multivitamin? Again, I think it depends on what you're actually eating. So I would ask yourself the same questions I was asking in the previous segment about whether you are eating a wide variety of fruits and vegetables that would naturally contain these things.
Catherine, let me go and say, I eat as close to an ideal, the only, if you will, non-vegetable or fruit or long-grain carbohydrate I eat is salmon. And I eat a wide variety and eat it. And when I measured the vitamin levels, I was, without taking a supplement, I would have been what I would call disastrously low in D and very low in B12. And so I said, and I eat as, if you will, good as possible. Now, some of the fruits and vegetables, because I live in Cleveland, I eat are frozen, but they should be just as good as fresh.
Frozen is fine.
And even when I do that, when I measure my levels, I'm pretty low. And many of my patients, even as young as 40s, are deficient in some of those by our basic tests. That's why I started doing it for myself. But there's something wrong with our food if I'm doing it and I'm literally eating, I eat an average of 11 servings of fruit and vegetables a day.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a couple things that go into that. And again, I would preface all this by saying I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a multivitamin. I would caution everyone against taking excessive doses of vitamins when you start getting to multiples of the daily requirement. And the caution I would have in terms of the multivitamin is that if you are someone who eats a lot of fortified food or drinks a lot of sports drinks that have like several hundred percent of the daily recommended daily dietary allowance of a vitamin, you can start adding up quickly to big, big doses. But if you're just trying to kind of eat a very healthy diet and then take a multivitamin to even things out, I think that's fine. I would note that with D, that's a very different vitamin than all the others in that we really don't have many natural sources in food of vitamin D, as you were saying earlier. That vitamin is made in our skin with the help of UVB radiation from the sun. So if you're not outside much, if you're wearing sunscreen or protective clothing all the time, if you live basically north of Philadelphia, especially in the winter, you're probably not going to make enough D. So I actually personally do take a D supplement. And then the last thing I just like to point out to people in terms of deficiency and trying to get 100% of things is that one of the most interesting things I found out about vitamins is that we really don't fully understand all that they do in our bodies or how much we actually need. We do know that everyone's needs vary. There's no one set dose that's perfect for everybody, and our needs vary also by time of year and season and things like that. So it's hard to figure out what deficient actually really means. And the other thing I like to point out to people is that if you are looking to the back of your food or your supplement or your multivitamin bottle and you see all those 100% on the back, that's actually based on a very outdated version of the dietary recommendations. For reasons that are not worth getting into here, they are based on the 1968 versions of those recommendations for the most part. And the recommendations have been updated continuously since then, and in many cases are quite different now. So you need to be, I would not use the 100% to think that you've got a perfect score in all your vitamins. If you really want to be mathematical about it, which I don't really recommend that you do, but if you did want to, you should look up the newest versions, which are called the DRIs. Not really worth your time, but if you want to. And then the last thing I would say about that just is that the recommended... Oh, sorry?
Those are in your book, right?
Yes, you could also buy my book and look at the back pages, and you would have those without the need to Google. But the other thing I was going to say is the RDAs, even if you are using the most up-to-date version, you don't need to get 100% of all of those vitamins and minerals every day. That's meant to be an average over time, and it also is, it's not a personalized recommendation, which I think a lot of us don't realize. It's designed to give recommendations on a population level, basically meaning like, say I was designing school lunches and I wanted to make sure that they were nutritionally adequate for most school children, that's what I'd use. So technically, the definition is it's supposed to meet the needs of 97.5% of the population. That means that most of us could get by fine on less. It's like if the analogy I like to use, it's like if the government had knitted a sweater that would be big enough to fit nearly any randomly picked American, you could be like, well, 97% of us could fit in the sweater, but it probably would be too big for most of us. And the same is true with those dietary recommendations. So in general, I mean, getting back to your question, I think it's fine to take a multivitamin if you want. Avoid superdoses and don't get too obsessed with the details.
We've run out of time, so I apologize to Jim Graham, who is on the line with a question, and I apologize for not getting to some of the email questions as well, such as, is the soil different? You can find out. We'll have Catherine back again if she'll come, but you can also find out by getting her book, VitamaniaTheBook.com. It's a wonderful book. What do we do about the soil and the soil changes, as it seems to have changed with our nutrition and also with what we call industrial farming. We'll be back next week. It's a best of show next week, 2 weeks with a new show. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio on Radio MD. Stay well.